Russ and Nadia on ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Well, this week, as we've been celebrating Reconciliation Week, the world has been shocked by the mining blast of a 46,000-year-old Aboriginal heritage site in the Pilbara. Now, this story has made worldwide headlines. This blast took place near the Juukan Gorge at Rio Tinto's Brockman mine site, in the process destroying ancient rock shelters which predate the pyramids.
Now, Rio Tinto had previously been granted permission to carry out the work in this area, but questions are now being asked about why the significance of the site wasn't taken into account before the blast went ahead. The Minister for Indigenous Australians, Ken Wyatt, has spoken about this case on RN this morning.
This, I think, is incomprehensible. And I don't know whether there was a genuine mistake, which it appears to be, but they are now working with Birchall and his family and other elders, and they expressed remorse at this occurring. Now, that doesn't excuse the fact that the destruction of these two sites have happened. We're going to have to pay more due diligence, and in the review of the EPBC Act, then we need to look at how do we strengthen the protection of Indigenous sites in this nation, because you cannot replace them.
That's Ken Wyatt speaking earlier on RN. Dr. Peter Veth is a Professor of Archaeology at UWA and has been working in the Pilbara for 40 years. He joins us. Dr. Veth, well, how did you feel, firstly, when you heard about this?
I was extremely surprised and obviously shocked, because this is not a normal protocol for any kind of land manager agency or resource developer. So I'm not surprised it's gone global, but it certainly has gone further and had more impact than even expected.
Okay, describe the significance of this site. What is it exactly? What was there? Why is it so important?
The banded iron formation in the Pilbara provides incredible preservation for human occupation and environmental records. And some of these gorges, like Juukan, had very large deposits which contain evidence of Aboriginal people, of the ancestors of the Bujuk, Grunti, Kurrama, Pinagura people. And they were back to 47,000 years with halves, animal bones, bone points and so forth. So this is a record which is as old as any other occupation in the deserts of Australia. And it had unique records of fauna and other data sets right through the last glacial period, the last ice age. So it was a pretty remarkable site, and it was worked on.
Have you actually seen it? Have you been privileged enough to be able to look at it?
No, I haven't seen this particular site. I've seen plenty of others in the desert and out to the stock route, but it does look like, you know, it was, the fabric was quite an extraordinary context.
What about also then, do we know, you know, what level of damage has been done to the site? I mean, are we sure about the impact of the blasting on these historically significant locations?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I've not seen anything in the public domain, certainly not had any briefing, and it would be extremely useful for the company and the native title owners to go through that very painful process, but to actually see what fabric is there. I know that the collections and salvage excavation done in 2014 are off-site and are safe, but obviously the context and the shelters, including a few others, presumably have been impacted or are geologically unstable.
And I'll say again that we have asked every day Rio Tinto to come forward and to explain exactly what has happened, and how can we know until they agree to do it? It's disappointing to me that they won't join us and talk about it.
Dr. Yes. Peter Veth, I guess what people are trying to understand is that it's a known site. It's been recorded. People have worked on it, as you said. So how can it be destroyed when it was known that it was there? That's what I'm trying to understand. I appreciate that Rio Tinto had permission to blast there. I'm just not sure where the communication breakdown is as to why that site wasn't identified during this blast process. What's the problem there?
There must have been a breakdown of communication. There's absolutely no question that's the optics from the outside, and I can't imagine it's not the optics on the inside. I mean, part of the problem, as Minister Wyatt, Ben Wyatt, said this morning from the state, is that once a permission goes through to impact or to carry out an activity which impacts the site, and it could be a coastal midden, it could be an art site, it could be a significant occupation site like this, if further work picks up further significances and values, it's very hard under the current legislation to feed that back in and provide different kinds of protection. And as he's acknowledged, as all of the traditional owner and land council groups have. And in fact, most of the resource developers I know, the Act needs to be reformed to accommodate changing significance. You don't lock something in from 5, 10, 20 years ago and expect it to be current.
What I don't understand then, and this is why we're asking for clarity from people like you, and maybe not from the people that we really want to hear from, to be honest, but I'm delighted you're with us.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong. But the fact that you have the legal right to be able to undertake an act doesn't necessarily mean that undertaking that act is a smart thing to do or the right thing to do.
No.
And that's kind of how I feel about this one.
Yeah, I think that's the increasing sentiment. And I think what we need in a mature state with a mature resource development and beneficiary arrangement framework is to have something like a land and environment court or a heritage tribunal, where some of these issues which are not well clarified or where additional values come to the table are genuinely put into a discoverable context where traditional owners have a place at the table, their own representative bodies, as do the land regulators and so forth. We just need to get more mature legislation. It needs to be more agile. And that would provide certainty, frankly, rather than having things locked up in what become albatross legislation.
So even though the Heritage Act is there to protect these kind of sites, there's no flexibility. Is that the problem? Because people have contacted me saying it was very hard to sort of penetrate this act on the grounds of cultural significance. That people have found it very difficult to, when things are locked away, to unlock them, if you like.
That's correct. I mean, before permits are given, there are commonly surveys, avoidance procedures, lots of things that engineers, railway engineers, road engineers, traditional owner groups can do to change the footprint on the land. And you can create curtilages, you can create buffers. Many site complexes are often avoided or totally put into so-called offset or conservation estates. And that kind of approach in putting high integrity landscapes aside, but using others for economic or whatever purposes for the benefit of communities and particularly traditional owner groups with new economies is obviously the way to go. And that needs to be part of the planning framework with the new Act.
Right.
I want to know whether the timing, whether the pandemic that we're in the midst of is playing any part in this. And I wonder whether how Rio Tinto's operations on the ground in the Pilbara perhaps may be different to how they would be under normal circumstances. Is there any chance that somehow the decision to blast this site was a byproduct of poorer management than normal?
I think there's been a breakdown. It's really incumbent on them to be clear about this, and I would have thought they'd be doing an apology and explaining that there was a breakdown, if there was, and if that's an incorrect assumption, that needs to be corrected. But certainly we all know, working off-site with Zoom, we communicate a lot more than we're used to with certain people, and others, it's hard. There are barriers there and a range of a whole range of planning and decision-making processes. So yeah. I think weak links can appear, and if I understand your question correctly, it's possible that happens. But I do think a very clear explanation is warranted, and I think everyone will benefit from that. And I know the traditional owners that are working or trying to work constructively forward with the company.
Yeah.
Dr. Peter Veth, so good to talk to you. He speaks sense, doesn't he? Professor of Archaeology at UWA. He's been working in the Pilbara 40 years. Because we don't have an explanation. Rio Tinto, if you're listening to us, we would love Chris Salisbury to talk to you about this. It's got people upset, not just in Western Australia, not just Australia, but around the world. And saying sorry is not an explanation. Here is the statement. It was a very lengthy statement that we've been given, and we repeat ask for Rio to come on the program, take as much time as you like, Chris Salisbury, to explain what's happened here. The statement in part reads, the mining activity conducted in May 2020 was undertaken in accordance with all necessary approvals. It was preceded by ministerial consent under Section 18 of the Aboriginal Heritage Act. Great. This was obtained in 2013 after detailed consultation with the PKK people over a decade that included research investigations. On it goes. Then approval was given and work undertaken. We are sorry that the recently expressed concerns of the PKKP did not arise through the engagements that have taken place. That's all very well, but that's far from an explanation.